First of all, let me thank you for the opportunity to speak to this esteemed audience today. And thank you to the organizers and all the panels that have preceded this presentation. The title of my presentation today is Isn't That Enough? What Comes After Austerity? And there's two objectives which I would like to try to achieve today. The first one is to quickly recap on where we are today after several years of austerity in Greece. And then secondly, and perhaps more importantly, definitely more importantly, how do we go beyond that in terms of the actions that we need to take to get an economy back on a stable and sustainable growth path? Could we have the presentation, please? Let me just say first that a lot of the material you will see today comes from actual project work that we as McKinsey have done in Greece, and of course also our global expertise and experience. So we've, as many of you know, worked for Greece 10 Years Ahead, which identified the sectors with the highest value generation potential for the Greek economy over the next few years, also identified structural reform. But together with that, we've, of course, done work in the fields of tourism, in the field of pensions, in prioritizing and planning where EU funds will go in the Greek economy to spur growth. So really, this topic is very close to our hearts, both as Greeks and as professionals. Let me remind everyone sort of where we've gone to. We've heard also from previous speakers that more than 25% of our GDP over the last 7-8 years has been lost. Truly one of the biggest crises that we've seen in modern economic history. About 65 billion were actually lost. Most of that coming from a reduction in private and government consumption by 43 billion and 11 billion respectively. A lot of it, unfortunately, coming from a very sharp reduction in both public and private investment to the order of 39 billion. And only 29 billion of all of that drop offset by an increase in our net exports, most of which is actually coming from a very sharp decrease in imports rather than a true spur of our export capacity. During the crisis, as a result of all these dynamics, the economy also shifted further away from the actual model that we see as a target model for our economy. That would be a model that gets our GDP back to where it was before the crisis started, also going, of course, above that levels. And most importantly, it will be based on a very different structure between investment, consumption, and net exports. So whereas before the crisis, we had almost 90% of GDP explained by private and public consumption, and only 25% of that was explained by investments. Net exports, of course, were in a deficit. We've now moved to a stage where consumption is still 90% of our much smaller GDP. Investments are only 10%, and our trade balance is finally balanced. We want to take that a lot further. We want to see consumption reduced as a percent of GDP to 70, 75%, investments going back to 25 to 30%, and exports being in net exports being in surplus to about up to 5% of GDP. Do we have the presentation? Or never mind, I can continue. Another point that I want to remind you before going forward is all of the fiscal adjustment, this really, really remarkable fiscal adjustment that we've had in Greece. So I think the minister has mentioned before, surplus, primary surplus of more than 1% this year. Compared to 2011, our fiscal position has improved by 15 billion. If we go back to 2009, we're our negative record. We are now 30 billion, which is a huge number for Greece, better in terms of our fiscal position. That, of course, has come at a significant cost. There are still very significant arrears of tax returns and expenditures of the government back to the private sector. And, of course, all this would need to be managed down, and there is already some progress in the last couple of quarters. Second, tax rates in Greece have now gone to some of the highest levels that we see in Europe, and coupled with contributions, coupled with property taxes, coupled with consumption taxes, we also heard from the panel before, that really does put a huge burden on the private sector and on business. What's more unfortunate is that all of these tax increases are not bringing back the fiscal revenues that one might expect, because the economy is going deeper and deeper into recession, and, of course, because we are suffering leakages to the shadow economy. This means that although Greece has gone a long way in the past few years, we need to keep moving ahead. We need to keep moving ahead in terms of closing the output gap in Greece, which is the largest among all of our European peers. Based on McKinsey Global Institute estimates, we are now about 10% below in GDP with our current structural model to where we could have been. A lot more output gap compared to any of our peers. But to close that output gap, there is a second axis, which is about structural reform. And we see structural reforms covering three large and distinct areas. First, reforms that will address tax evasion and allow us to eventually restructure our tax system and generate healthy demand and consumption. Second, it's further improvements to our legal, judicial, and administrative system to support not only the restructuring of distressed assets, but also to spur new investments in the economy. And third, we see structural change in additional business initiatives that would allow us to increase and sustain our exports, especially in the most outward-looking sectors of the Greek economy. So let me take those one at a time. And finally, we have also technology sorted, so let me speed through some of what we've already discussed. So my first area would be around how do we get consumption and demand back to healthy levels, not the type of consumption we had experienced before the crisis, of course. The first action we would see is actually going back to a point I made before about government arrears to the private sector. And of course, those are in the process of being managed, but should close because that would add significant liquidity of about up to 6 billion in the Greek economy. The second action, and we heard some of that also in previous panels, and I'm very, very glad about it, is actually finally decisively addressing the shadow economy in Greece. As you see here, about 22% of GDP is estimated to be in the shadow currently, which means that we're losing 10 to 15 billion in tax evasion every year. Compare that to our current total fiscal deficit of 4 billion. Okay, there's a lot more out there, but of course, as somebody had once told me about the shadow economy, if you can't tax it, it doesn't exist. Also, VAT, of course, experiences a gap of about 6 billion per year. And again, there, together with some of the smaller European economies, we're obviously on the upper side of the axis in terms of gap and evasion. So what do we do about this? Now, some of it has to do with the processes and automation. From our recent experience working for other OECD economies, one of the recent examples is Israel, where the tax gap was actually much lower than it is in Greece. We need to take advantage of the data and technology that exists in our age. Organizations in the corporate world have made huge advancements in the last few years in terms of data and technology, and this type of assets need to be leveraged also by the public sector. This type of work would allow us to identify who are the strategic tax evaders in the economy who actually have assets but are not willing to pay. And the current tax structure and tax framework in Greece is not addressing them in the way that it should. Another important development which we should take advantage of and has come as a side effect of the capital controls is the increase in card and electronic transactions. Now, this is important because research for many, many years has shown that moving to these electronically recorded transactions, you do, of course, have a force to bring down the shadow economy. And indeed, if you look at things like the transactions made through cards or transactions made through electronic channels in Greece, since capital controls, we've seen a huge rise to the order of more than 60%. However, the problem is we're still too low. If you look at the number of transactions per capita every year, Greece started before the capital controls at 8 per person. It's now at 13, but we're only surpassing Bulgaria. Our next peer is Italy, and as you see, they're almost 3 times as high as Greece is and not the best performer in Europe. Let me talk now also, before we move on to investment, let me just mention a third action that would fall under spurring healthy demand, in my opinion, and that would be what can come after we actually address the shadow economy. That would be a more holistic reform of the tax system that focuses on actually reducing the tax rates. A fourth action that can also be helped by this higher transparency would be to have more, I would say, responsible and sustainable lending also on the part of the banks on this more transparent and high-quality data. With that, let me move to investments. So we always go back to the work we did for Greece 10 years ahead because we feel that's a very good synthesis of the big growth engines of the Greek economy. Back then, when we did the effort, and we keep updating, of course, as time goes by, we identified the 5 largest production sectors, the major sectors of tourism, energy, food processing, agriculture, retail, but also some of the more rising star sectors of the Greek economy. Sectors like R&D and innovation, specialty foods, waste management, maritime and medical tourism. We really, really believe there is so much potential in the Greek economy, potential that can lead us a few years down the road in closing the gap of GDP and covering 55 out of the 65 billion we've lost, and also creating a lot of jobs for the Greek economy and for especially young people in Greece. We estimate that number to be north of 600,000 new jobs in the economy from these sectors. What do you need to create this? You need to increase investment by about 19 billion per year from the current low levels. That might seem like a big number for Greece, but I'd like to remind everyone that if we look at the 2000-2008 period, we had averaged back then annual investment levels of more than 45 billion per year. So it is not an unrealistic number, but it will, of course, take a lot of work to achieve it. More importantly, contrary to the past, the shift between public and private investment needs to change significantly. So even if we account for public funds, for EU funds, there's still the need for 75% of those 19 billion that I mentioned before to come from the private sector. And that, of course, makes events such as today very, very important. I would say wrong not to mention investments in distressed assets in Greece, given that based on latest figures from the Bank of Greece, 51% of bank balance sheets right now are classified as non-performing exposures. We've identified a number of 460 corporates with significant size for Greek standards of more than 20 million turnover and also more than 10 million exposure that are not performing but also not in bankruptcy or liquidation stages. Those for us would be the prime candidates for restructuring, and of course that would need further push and completion and implementation of the various legal, tax, and also market changes that we see in this field. Just to mention some of those, one of them would be to further empower creditors in order to lead the finding of restructuring solutions for corporates. Also, limiting the personal liability of restructuring officers, which has been constraining a lot of the solutions to date. But, of course, it would also be a more formalized and effective coordination among the four systemic banks and the Greek state. Let me now move to net exports. This is, of course, again, linked to our discussion on high-potential high-value sectors for the Greek economy. One point I mentioned before, a lot of the improvement in our net exports, actually 90% of it almost, has come from a reduction in imports. And only 10% of the improvement, when we look at the goods, excluding services, trade balance, has come from an export increase. Where do we need to focus? Of course, the low-hanging fruits, if we're talking about action in the next 18 to 24 months, while, of course, other sectors are also progressing. For tourism, we heard the panel before and the minister, we have had a very good run in terms of the number of visits to Greece, very healthy growth. The bet, however, from now on is to, first of all, sustain that growth, and second, address the problem you see on the lower end of the presentation here, which is that the actual spend per visit has gone down significantly. So we really need to focus on getting this more affluent mix. And again, we heard the panelists before talk about marinas and the right level of hospitality and the right level of communication and marketing to bring in the tourists of this particular niche groups to Greece. If we look at another very promising sector, that would be food. Food in terms of the production, but also in terms of promotion of Greek foods. And there, again, there is a couple of actions we have defined and believe that can take the sector to the next level. One of them would be the creation of this Greek foods company, as we call it. This could be run completely by the private sector, or it could be on a PPP approach. But the important thing is that the functions that it would serve are currently not there. So it would help secure sourcing at scale. It would help establish access to key markets, including, of course, the U.S. It would help on marketing, logistics, et cetera, and would allow the country and the sector overall to build a strategy on how to attract buyers from those markets that are familiar, actually, with the Greek product because of their visits to Greece as tourists or because of the diaspora, as in the case of North America, and who are sizable markets. So from the EU would be markets like Germany, the UK, Scandinavia, and then, of course, as I said, going further out would be North America. So where does all this get us to? Let me summarize a set of nine actions that we see as very important to bring us back to sustainable growth and take us finally beyond recession, beyond austerity. The first one under consumption would be to prioritize arrear payments to where they really make a difference. As I said, a $6 billion level of arrears could inject new liquidity into the market. The second one is addressing the shadow economy through the use of advanced analytics and through further promotion of the non-cash transactions. The third one, to take advantage of any gains we have from addressing the shadow economy in order to gradually bring tax rates down. And the fourth, to start cherry-picking new risks, new healthy risks from the bank side. On the investment front, another three actions. The first one, to remove the barriers and allow the acceleration of especially corporate restructuring, both financial and operational turnarounds. The second one, directing EU funds and private funds to the most high value addition sectors of the Greek economy. And the third, to, as we heard this morning, effectively relaunch a one-stop shop and speed up the process for foreign investment in Greece. We believe that we can do a lot more in that space. Finally, on exports, tourism, start recovering the affluent mix, not just the number of visitors coming to Greece, and food, be more effective in terms of promoting and really focusing on those target markets that will make a difference. These are the type of actions that we see as important to get us beyond austerity, and these are the type of initiatives that we believe we need to support and sustain Greece's growth. Thank you very much.